Roger Williams University is hosting a crisis management seminar on May 3rd at their Providence campus. Crises, whether a natural disaster, cyber attack, or financial instability, can have severe repercussions if not handled properly. This is where crisis management plays a pivotal role. Join Roger Williams MBA students and expert speakers to learn how to prepare for the unexpected. The program is totally free and open to the public. You can register online at rwu.edu/events/crisis-management-symposium.
This is the Bartholomew Town Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into another edition of Rhode Island's podcast of record. B-Town, it's Bill Bartholomew here with you. Today, we have a discussion on something that has been kind of in and out of the forefront of the news, and that is the situation involving Providence City Clerk Sean Selleck, who is our guest today here on the pod. I read to you from Friday's edition of the Providence Journal, and it's an article written by Amy Russo, headlined, "Toxic Office, Providence City Clerk Says Politics at Play in Harassment Allegations." Russo writes, Providence's city clerk and the lawyer tasked with investigating the harassment allegations leveled against him agree on one thing. His office is toxic. They differ on who's to blame. In his first sit-down interview on the workplace scandal in which he's found himself mired, Sean Selleck, who has held the clerk's role since 2019, described challenges to his leadership as the result of resistance to change in transparency. So what we have here is ostensibly allegations that Selleck created a toxic and hostile work environment in the city clerk's position, which is a political appointment by the city council. And Selleck argues that his attempt to modernize the office and modernize open government in Providence has resulted in these allegations being leveled against him. This has been in and out of HR, court, so on and so forth, as the accusers retain their position that it is, in fact, Selleck that has created this hostile work environment inside the Providence City Clerk's office. Well worth a Google as well. There's a lot of articles where you can sort of follow along in this particular story, even just going back to like July, some good stuff on WPRI and in the Providence Journal, really tracing this journey. But today, we hear from the clerk himself, Sean Selleck, here on Bartholomew Town. So today we have a conversation on something that has really been weaving in and out of the news now here in Rhode Island for a little while and probably isn't on the forefront of everyone's radar screen, but has recently come to fruition, in particular via a Providence Journal article by Amy Russo that dropped over the weekend. And I guess the easiest way, the simplest way to consolidate the discussion and sort of set it up is for our guest, Sean Selleck, to explain what's going on and what we're talking about here.
Hi, Bill. I appreciate you taking the time to speak with me. It's, this experience has been very unusual for me professionally and personally, because I came to Providence about 9 years ago wanting to be a change agent to try to improve what I've made as my new home. And I plan to stay here for a long time as soon as people will accept me as a Rhode Islander.
Yeah.
And I have been working to improve the transparency and openness of City Hall since I moved here. And I'm used to encountering resistance in organizations where change is coming about. And I've learned to be sensitive to the stakeholders in that change and to work productively with them. But this most recent experience has shown me just how much resistance there is and how far people are willing to go to stop the transparent flow of information, the free flow of information, when controlling the flow of that information can be used to someone's personal, benefit or personal, political objectives. And so I've really encountered resistance on a number of levels that is, from people that feel controlling that information is to their benefit.
So let's get to some basics. First of all, the city clerk, what exactly is the role, and when you came into it, what were your expectations based on the job description, frankly? And then how quickly did you find that you were facing various forms of pushback? I know that there's things like, you know, not redlining, changes to, frankly, fiscal and budgetary documents that are, you know, would be critical to understand the movement of those documents through the process. But just in general, what's your job?
So the job is really primarily the keeper of the records. I manage a team of people that are actively creating those records. So I am the city clerk of the city council. And so I serve all of the city council members as they perform their duties to enact legislation. And the staff in our office are responsible for very, you know, clerical responsibilities, but are writing the legislative history of the city of Providence. So they're taking the roll, they're counting the votes. They're recording all of the proceedings of public meetings. And I also oversee the city archives, where records of a certain age go to live the rest of their life. And for some of them, the life is forever. Those two bodies, you know, the city clerk is creating the legislative records, and the archives is maintaining them in perpetuity, not only for the Department of City Clerk, but for virtually every department in City Hall. And we're responsible for preserving those, providing public access, both as they're being created, like in a public meeting, because as soon as a document is distributed, that becomes a public record and the public has a right to that record, and maintaining them in perpetuity so that people can access those records over time. And we also perform a lot of other clerical responsibilities and serve the public. We have a public facing desk that performs some other roles too, but really the record keeping and the documentation of legislation is the primary role.
So let's cut to what has been a controversy, so to speak, that has dominated, I would assume, a good chunk of your life over these last months. The original allegations in a nutshell are that you were engaged in what was described as toxic or harassing activity. That has gone through a process that has weaved in and out of HR. You were to be terminated, then via the court system, you were reinstated, you were assigned to be continuing in your role. This has gone back and forth now. And I read from Amy Russo's piece in the Providence Journal, an HR report that cites years of gossiping and infighting for positions of authority, a workplace culture that ignores best practice and rewards hoarding information for job security and promotional opportunity, and a tradition in the office for the first and second deputies to undermine the city clerk. That is your office. So take us through your take on where all this began, the public story that's been told, and any record that you'd like to set straight.
So the Department of the City Clerk, you know, is appointed by the city council. They are a council appointee. You're required to get 8 of the 15 votes, as the council stands with the current 15 membership, to become city clerk. And the process of, you know, that's a political appointment. In the past, I can only guess that it's been very political. A person who is elected council president at the very first meeting of the council members then usually takes the support that they have to also select other council appointees. The municipal court judge, the probate court judge, the internal auditor, the treasurer, those are all council appointees. Those council appointees, understandably, are interested in being reappointed for the most part. A lot of people, you know, they seek those jobs because they feel that they can do some good work in that role. And they are interested in maintaining that role. And so it behooves them to support the leadership of the council and to be, you know, to curry favor with those that might be reappointing them 4 years later. And it also behooves any deputies or other people in the organization to also curry that favor if they seek those roles. And the fact of the matter is, I mean, the HR report highlights the toxicity that's existed in this office. The sad fact of the matter is that the previous two clerks were also involuntarily pushed out because of either frustration or accusations of bad behavior. And that seems like that's what's happening again. I mean, it seems like there's an opportunity that the council president has taken advantage of this ongoing toxicity to place someone that he would prefer to be in that role, And so there has been this history, and the HR report does highlight the fact that it's been there for a really long time. So, and I came in the very first day, even telling my staff, acknowledging that there needed to be a healing process, and I wanted to be part of that. I'm a pretty conscientious boss, and very interested in supporting the staff and doing, you know, getting professional development resources and building a positive culture. And so it's been ironic and disappointing to me that I'm being accused of being part of continuing the toxicity when I believe that I was brought there as someone with management experience to try to diffuse that.
This episode is brought to you by Elmwood Songwriters Club, presented by B-Town. It's a monthly showcase featuring seven artists from all around the region, with the order drawn at random. Each artist performs two songs. You can find details about when the next event is here in Providence by following me on Twitter and Instagram at Bill Bartholomew. So as it stands now, the perspective that you bring to this is that this is a political rift between you as a person who is challenging norms and Council President Igliosi, who would prefer to continue some of those norms, and that the firestorm around your role, if you will, is not only unwarranted, but is political. Is that your position?
In a nutshell, yes. I mean, there are people at multiple levels who would prefer there not to be change, would prefer there not to be more transparency, would prefer that the way that tasks are performed and processes are carried out continue to be as they have been for decades, because it's either comfortable or because it's in their best interests.
Do you have any specific examples of where you see practices of the city council failing to serve what ought to be their mission in terms of being open to the public and accessible to the public? What sort of change in general are you seeking to make?
Well, you know, I started that when I first moved here, literally months into my Rhode Island, residency. I was very fortunate that I started coming to city council meetings, and I saw that there were a lot of tools being used that were very outdated. I mean, I moved here at the end of 2012. Literally in 2013, the city council was still using cassette tapes to record their public meetings, because I was shocked. You know, I was sitting in a meeting, my first committee meeting, and after 30 minutes, the city clerk said, "Oh, chair, please wait one moment," and they had to pause the whole meeting and turn over the cassette tape and then press record again. They didn't have anything online, and you know, I've told this story many times over, but I submitted, you know, I wanted some minutes from some committees. And I asked for those minutes, and I was told by the city clerk at the time, and she meant me no ill will. She just said, "Well, you have to submit a public records request for that." And so I said, "Okay." So I sent it to her. She forwarded it to the law department, and they responded and said, "This will cost you $100 and some change. And I was shocked. I mean, it wasn't really fun, but just for the fun of it, I paid the money, and I received a zip file of some PDFs and Word documents of a few, you know, of some different committees. And I went and spoke to the city clerk and I said, this shouldn't happen. These documents should be freely available. And I offered to work to build the first open meetings portal so that no one ever would have to pay for that type of public information again. And no one ever has, because it's up there right now. And so those were some of the first changes that I brought about just as a consultant. And it was because of that modernization that the council, the new council, asked me to return to lead the department that I was a consultant to 8 years ago. And so with this term, I really had a lot of goals to improve additional processes and introduce other tools. And part of that was challenged just because other leadership in my office weren't interested in change. And part of it was challenged because some of the transparency I wanted was not in the best interest of the leadership from the council. And part of it was impacted by the pandemic because I ended up spending a lot more of my time creating the first virtual city council for Providence than I thought I would. And I'm proud of having done that. And I'm proud of the council for having come along. But there's a lot more that we could do to continue to make information accessible to the public in ways that we haven't before.
Back to the original allegations, we're in a time right now where people are encouraged to speak out. If they feel something is wrong, they've been wrong, so on and so forth. And the tendency, of course, is to, for anyone who's empathetic or just a concerned human at any level, is to listen to those voices. Your response to the specific allegations against you on a human level, taking away the political aspect of it, are they plainly false? Is there something that you regret that you wish you could have gone back and reshaped your messaging or anything like that? Or is this, in your opinion, a total farce and truly just a total political hit job?
I would say that this, you know, quote unquote, independent report is a total political hit job. The person in me that has empathy and care for my staff, and I've always had that, can appreciate, just like in any organization, that change is difficult. And when you're someone who's been in an organization for a very long time and you kind of know how everything works, there aren't very many incentives for you to learn a new way that might improve access to information for the public, but doesn't really make your work life as easy as it might have been before. I can appreciate the resistance. I can appreciate that people, you know, some people would rather not learn new things and would rather not raise the bar unnecessarily, but that's not why I came to work in City Hall.
Last question, what's next for you?
Well, it really depends on what happens with this process, right? I have found a groundswell of support from the staff that are still in the Department of the City Clerk. The morale is leaps and bounds. It's probably at a level that it's never been before in the office. Everyone is pretty happy, has really pulled together. And, you know, we had a team of 5 or 6 people doing the work of 10. And so I'm really happy about that. And we've really been learning a lot. There's been a lot of training, building capacity. And I hope that that will help sustain the office in the coming years. But I really hope that there's a way for the council and the public to understand why I'm fighting this fight and how important it is to our democracy, and that even though a lot of people don't understand exactly what the city clerk does, my job is to make sure that city council members have the real information that they need to make the best decisions on behalf of their constituents. And when information is being concealed from them, it's being concealed from the public, and it is prohibiting them from making the best decisions for the city of Providence.
Rhode Island's podcast of record, B-Town.
At HealthSource RI for Employers, we provide access to health insurance to more than 1,100 local businesses and nonprofits, and 96% of them renew through us every year. Maybe it's our choice of 19 different health plans, our 10 years of customizing solutions, or our one local team of dedicated experts helping employers find quality health insurance. See how our numbers stack up for you. Learn more at healthsourceri.com/employers.